This is a Doxcast, not an Argon Soxcast, or a Bendis and Loxcast. Now I'm hungry, this is a Doxcast, it's a nerdy Toxcast, discuss a Moxcast, with Rich Early and friends.
Hello everybody and welcome to another Endgame podcast, Doxcast. I am Josh Trumbo, I'm your co-host, who normally gets that right on the first try, but we're just going to power through. With me, as always, is the finger-snapping Rich Early.
You know, I've seen 14 million versions of this podcast, Josh, and only one of them turns out good.
And we're already off the rails, on,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we've, it's done.
This is not one of the ones that turns out good.
That was funny, right there.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So we're here at Paradox Comics and Cards here in Fargo, North Dakota, coming at you with a block of podcasts. We talked about some other good stuff tonight and right now.
And keep in mind, the Doxcast is we record episodes live, and then we post them on the internet every Monday. We missed a couple, but tonight is us trying to get our butts back on track. And so we often have guests. We often have lots of things to talk about. It's a podcast about being nerds, about Paradox Comics, about the nerd community in Fargo, Moorhead, things like that. But on top of that, it is... sometimes we don't have any of that, so we just BS about movies.
Yeah. Well, and honestly, sometimes those are some of my favorites, because I love having the guests in here, and I love interviewing them, but sometimes it's nice to just chat, like we're just sitting here talking, which we don't always have time to do.
Right.
So it's kind of a nice reprieve from all the other work and things that are going on. We're coming at you live tonight on twitch.tv/ParadoxCNC and also our Facebook page. And then we'll post this podcast on a following Monday, ParadoxCNC.com. But yeah, we figure it's been 3 weeks, give or take. I think that's about right. The embargo's up enough that we can sit here.
Well, and probably by the time, I mean, if you're watching this live, spoiler warning, by the time it gets posted, it'll probably be about 6 weeks, you know.
Yeah,
since,
it'll be a little ways down the road. Yeah. So we can talk finally about Avengers Endgame, which is a movie that I think we've all seen. And if not, I think everyone's seen it,
you know, based on the box office. I like in like 7 days, there were only four movies ever that made more money than it. It's just like, wow.
Yeah. And I haven't looked to see, has it surpassed Avatar yet, or is it...
I don't know. I haven't seen that headline yet. Like, it's just a matter of time.
That was like the last one, but yeah, I'm pretty sure.
You know, I think one of the most interesting things, because, you know, I mean, I come at things from the comics perspective all the time, and it's always interesting to me the difference between comics and movies, and I would like to talk about that a little bit, and Endgame itself, there's plenty to talk about, but... You know, starting in 2008, Marvel Cinematic did this really, you know, like unprecedented thing, and it built an 11-year relationship with its fans. Why is this movie going to be the best, you know, selling movie of all time? Because for 11 years they built a relationship with you, and in the same time, simultaneously, the comic industry did like the exact opposite. It didn't build a relationship. It tore relationships down for all intents and purposes by simply relaunching and relaunching and relaunching. Instead of building on it and building on it and building on it, it just started over and started over and started over. And I think it's a good example of why the two industries are in such a different place. You know, one being the box office, which is doing quite well, and one being the comic industry, which isn't. But anyway, this is a tribute to what they did in the MCU and having a, you know, I don't know if they had an exact master plan. Probably not, but they got there.
Yeah. No, that's just it. And it's so crazy to think that one of the, like, biggest, probably most relevant cultural events in our current lifetime, in our current day and age, is a comic book movie. Like, I mean, 10 years ago, because they started doing this stuff, it was 11 years ago, you would never have thought. I mean, it was such an anomaly that there was a really good comic book movie. like one that not only was a, you know, a good movie, but accurately represented character and presented the action in a way that wasn't hokey, or you know, it was believable up to a certain point. But you know, when I went to Iron Man back in the day, it was just like, oh, this looks neat. I didn't really read the comics. I didn't know much about Iron Man, but that movie blew me away. It was fantastic. And then the way that it built from there, because it was a little bit shaky at first, right? Like, you know, Captain America, the first Avenger, was quite good. I enjoy that movie. And you have Thor, and that was all right. It had its moments. It wasn't, like, amazing, but that was pretty good. And Iron Man 2 was terrible. But, you know, so things, it definitely wasn't like it hit the ground running and just hasn't stopped. It's like people got caught off guard, and then it kind of floundered a little bit, but, you know, there were some good ideas in place, and you know, I don't know. It's just, it's amazing where it's gone and how big it really is. I mean, to the point where there was one of the top contenders for Best Picture at the Oscars last year was a comic book movie, you know? And I say that, I fully believe that there are other movies in the MCU especially that should have been nominated for more Academy Awards and other awards, because there are some that are just amazingly fantastic, but you still just don't expect it, right? Like, there's a certain caliber of Oscar movie, you know, adjust your ascot and your monocle when you say that, that a lot of times these sort of things, you just don't expect them to get any recognition that way.
Yeah, I mean, I think when Return of the King won, partially as tribute to, you know, the amount of work that went into that project, partially to how good most of it was, you know, and what a cinematic success it was. I mean, and I mean, I agree with you, and I mean, I don't totally agree. I think the thing that there are a lot of fans of these movies, and their fandom isn't always acknowledged by the Oscars. So that part I totally will agree with you with. But on the other hand, I'm not sure that, you know, for the most part, most of those movies deserve it, you know, but yeah, I mean, it's things have changed, is what you're saying, you know, and I do agree with that. Like, we are in a different era, and things are not looked at the same as they were previously.
Right, so. Right, and yeah, I mean, that's the crux of what I'm getting at here, is that there's definitely a shift, and you know, I don't expect to see Endgame up for Best Picture this coming Oscars. It'd be great.
I hear they're already fighting for it, you know?
So. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm sure it deserves to be in the list, because it's an amazing undertaking. But yeah, I just think it's very, very cool that this is something, like, everybody I know is either talking about it or at least knows about it, and it's just very relevant. Whereas, you know, a lot of times these sort of things that, you know, are the big nerdy things, you know, they have their audience and they appeal to that audience, hopefully if the filmmakers are not complete morons. Because there's always ones where the studios step in and they're just like, well, we just need to totally alienate these people to not get the people that don't care about it. But
and there's been some of that. I mean, with the MCU, with Disney, you know, with the MCU and Star Wars, like Simon Pegg, you know, and Ant-Man, right?
Oh yeah, with Simon Pegg. That's the actor, but I can't think of his name right now. But yeah, the guy who directed Shaun of the Dead and
not Simon Pegg, but yes, him. That guy.
I feel bad that I'm forgetting his name now, because I love his work.
Yeah, Hot Fuzz and Simon Pegg and
Scott Pilgrim and
Simon Pegg the movie.
Yeah, yeah. Where He was unfortunately taken off of the Ant-Man project, and I think Ant-Man would have been much better if he had been involved. But that's another conversation there. So anyway, we're kind of
I didn't mean to deep
one. No, that's all right. But yeah, it is a big cultural phenomenon. It's a huge event.
It's absolutely. But it's interesting. It's a cultural phenomenon and an event, but the meaning of that has shifted as well. First of all, it's very hard and rare that something slices through all the noise and becomes a cultural event anymore. This did. You know, the ending of Game of Thrones is. Star Wars Episode 9 will continue. Things like that. But I mean, beyond that, we have individualized in a way that was never possible before because of all the options that are available to us. And so that idea of that we all as a group, zeitgeist level, go out and do the same thing and share that experience, it's very different than it used to be. And I think even in us doing it, it's different. You don't wait in line for hours to get your tickets. Fight to get your seat. And that has changed everything about that experience, in my opinion,
Oh, I agree completely. I do very much appreciate the convenience of just being able to buy my tickets online and get my seats there so I don't have to worry about, being there. But, I mean, I stood in line for the Star Wars prequels. Feel sorry for me. But that, in and of itself, was a fantastic experience. And I loved it, regardless of, what we all thought of The Phantom Menace. The fact that I was in line from the time before the mall opened, where, back in my hometown where I went to go see the movie, and I was like fourth in line or something, third or fourth in line, and we all were there, big Star Wars fans, playing Star Wars Trivial Pursuit and, having lightsaber duels until the mall security told us we had to stop. And, just having these conversations and having that experience was fantastic. And you can't really duplicate that now.
Nope.
Because even if you as a movie theater manager say, we're not going to sell the tickets beforehand, it's going to be the day of and it's not assigned seating, people will not go, oh, sweet, I get to have this experience again. They're just going to be mad. Like, why are you doing this? So that sort of thing it's a relic of the past, at least for now. The whole, I remember going to see the first Avengers movie even and having to be in line ahead of time. I think we were able to buy our tickets prior, but there wasn't the assigned seating. There wasn't.
It's just a different world. That's not the only change. You go back to the Avengers, the first Avengers movie, and this is more switching to sort of in, universe or whatever. We remember when we had no idea if they could put six people in one movie,
right?
Six people who could star in their own movies, could they put them in their own all together in a movie and pull it off? We had no idea. No clue. And now we're talking about, 40 characters in a movie.
It's insane. And each one is represented. Like, they don't all get an equal amount of screen time per se, but they each have their moment to shine. They each have those moments where their character comes out and is very visceral. And so even if maybe you haven't seen Spider-Man, when you see Spider-Man or any of the Spider-Man movies, when you see him on screen there, you get this snippet of who he is.
Well, he's a perfect example, because if you have seen Spider-Man Homecoming, right, there's a joke in there where the suit says to him, I'll activate death mode, or kill mode.
Instant kill mode or something
instant
like that.
And Peter goes, no, what? No. But then in this movie, he says, activate instant kill mode. And it's if you've seen the Spider-Man movie, it's perfect. But if you haven't, you might be like, "Wait, what is that? I don't."
But at that point, it's not that important. Yep. Like, you aren't going like, "Wait a second, I don't understand this Spider-Man character and his instant
because
kill suit."
Because it's just this giant.
It's part of this big battle, and that's just a moment that happens.
Yeah, I mean, and if we shift to breaking those down, well, go ahead. And I would like to break down Infinity War and Endgame a little bit, because I definitely have a lot of opinions about them. You know, if you have much negative to say about Endgame, you're just kind of missing the point, you know.
Right.
And I'm usually the most critical person in the world, and I enjoyed every minute of it, but I do have a lot of thoughts between the two movies, what I liked that worked well and didn't in the two.
So. Well, and that's something that I've noticed more with this one than with some of the previous Marvel movies, but more specifically, and we were talking about this a little bit before the podcast, you know, the kind of nerd rage that happens, you know, it's especially with Star Wars, the most recent, Last Jedi, and what's happening currently with Game of Thrones, you know, it's, I haven't sensed that very much, or been privy to it, at least my friends, with Endgame. And I think a lot of that currently is people are still being very good about no spoilers. Another part of that, I think, is that Endgame has happened. They've been able to discuss privately amongst people, so they didn't spoil anything, and now they're mad about Game of Thrones. So,
yeah. But they earned... That goes back to the relationship building, though. They earned your trust, and then they, on top of that, delivered... They paid off your trust when it came down to the end between Infinity War and this, you know?
Yeah. Real quick, Josh Glover has popped into our Facebook chat and was asking why we don't have an iTunes feed anymore. The answer to that is several months ago we switched over and got a new website. And the way our iTunes feed was set up, it pulled the podcast episodes from our old website. And it's just been kind of a slow process getting everything kind of switched over. So I apologize. A lot of that's on me. I need to get back in touch with our developer. And we've discussed it and have some ideas and things in motion, but I just haven't gotten everything finished. So
hopefully it might be something that is worth, if we can figure out, you know, you get a lot of benefits from doing like a starting off as a fresh podcast. So if we ever did, well, I don't, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but we intend to get it back up and running, and I'll hopefully have some more time like this weekend and see if I can dig into that a little bit more. Back to the discussion at hand.
You know, if you look at, really, you're going to look at Infinity War and Endgame. Now, they're not one movie. I mean, the thing that I thought Infinity War did incredibly well is, if you were a comics fan, you knew how the movie was going to end because you knew what happened, you know, in the comics.
Right.
And I think even if you weren't a comic fan, you probably kind of knew where it was going to end, right?
Yeah, like
you
knew it was a two-parter.
Thanos was probably going to win in the first half, right? It was just a question of, like, how much so, you know?
Right.
But the thing I thought Infinity War did is so well was... Despite being the 19th movie at the time, and despite having all this stuff to carry, it did what I love. It had a beginning, a middle, and an end in and of itself. And I thought that was a thing of beauty to pull off. And I will say, I feel like Endgame effectively did that as well, as best as they about could.
Yeah.
So my hat is really off to people who managed to do that. Because something that drives me nuts, like Harry Potter 7.1, you know, that doesn't have its own beginning, middle, and end, and it felt like a cash grab, you know, or like the way they broke up the third Hunger Games book into two movies, same thing, you know, they didn't have any real justification for doing it other than they wanted an extra $12 from everybody or whatever, you know.
Yeah, and that is an interesting thing because you know when they announced there's going to be a third Avengers movie or whatever, because you knew it was coming. And then it was going to be split. We were all thinking it's Infinity War parts 1 and 2, but it wasn't. It was Infinity War, and it was Endgame.
Yeah, no, they really went out of their way early on, and they kind of let us know, you know, like, this is not what you think, and they did an amazing job of that. You know, again, comparing the two movies a lot, I think there's a lot of comparison in my mind to Infinity War, and I'm going to especially say the Two Towers from the Lord of the Rings trilogy. I realize in this that I don't have a Fellowship of the Ring, but I'm still going to use the Battle of Wakanda is the Battle of Helm's Deep, And it's really the movie that works the hardest at the darkest parts of the story, you know. Mm-hmm. And then both, I think, Return of the King and Endgame are also very similar. They have climactic, gigantic battles. You are battling over a guy over rings for all intents and purposes, you know,
yeah.
and all the hard work's been done, and now the payoffs come around, and hats off to, I mean, the Russo brothers, when we didn't even know if Joss Whedon could put six Avengers into a movie,
mm-hmm.
again, they not only culminated a story that had about 30 or 40 main characters, but also that culminated 22 movies.
Yeah.
Worth of storytelling.
Over
so, like,
11 years.
Yeah. So, any of the things for me that I have problems with, I just have to set, you know, like, come on. You know, like, that task was so nearly impossible. I just thought, my only thought is Infinity War, I think, is a nearly perfect movie of what it is. Mm-hmm. I don't think Endgame is quite the same.
Mm-hmm.
But for me to rag on it is not worth it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things I think is very interesting about the two of those is that Endgame, it's like they're part of the end of the current MCU, right? It's been building up to this. Everything, whether they knew it or not, at the start, they were building up to this. And so Infinity War is, you know, its own encapsulated thing, and that leads to Endgame. Endgame is treated more as the nostalgic, you know, yes, we're going to finish it. There's going to be all the things you expect. But it's also taking the time to go back, you know, with the whole time heist sequence. It's like we're going to go back in time to all of these favorite movies that you have. And we're going to touch on them. And, you know, it's all part of the plot. It all fits in. I'm not saying it was, you know, it felt manufactured or anything by any means there. But it definitely it seems like the plan was to go and say, this is going to be our send-off. You know, obviously the MCU is continuing. Some of those characters are moving on. Some are not. But it was definitely a chance for them to go back and, you know, I mean, especially with Cap, Tony, and Scott, when they go back to the Battle of New York, and there's the whole sequence, you know, obviously, we get to relive some of those fun moments. And then there's, like, the elevator sequence, you know, when Cap gets in the elevator with all those guys. And it's, like, perfectly, obviously, the Russos did Captain America 2, you know, it was, like, shot for shot getting it in there. And it's, you know, such a great chance to relive some of these awesome moments from these past movies. And so it really was a love letter and a send-off in addition to being, you know, its own thing.
Yep.
And
I mean, it's like Endgame was like three movies to some degree, and maybe that was fine. Maybe this isn't a case where this is a bad thing. It's partially you know, post-apocalyptic hangover, you know, mm-hmm. or reality with a hard sell that, yeah, no, this is the way it is. Like, it can't just be fixed. That was something I thought the movie did really well.
Yes,
was. Don't make us wait for the fight. Send the Avengers off right away. Have them confront Thanos and have them realize, however you do it, nope, this is life now. You know, and I thought that was really good. And I loved how mad Tony was and why. And it was also feeling, I'm not saying I thought he was right or wrong. It just felt legit.
Right.
It felt not forced or overwritten. It was perfect, you know?
Yeah.
And now here's the decisions these characters have made over this 5-year time period. But then, you know, it's sort of like the movie has just so much to do, because then the next thing we're doing is basically a heist movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about heist movies, though, and I did see some good commentary on this, is like, again, this is the part where like I said, criticizing this movie heavily is a mistake.
Right.
But in a good heist movie, we see the start, beginning, and end where we plan the heist,
yeah.
and we test out the heist, and we do all these sorts of things, like Ocean's 11, obviously, right? So,
yeah.
And so here, one of the problems is, as soon as they start saying things like, well, the plan's going wrong, well, that doesn't really mean anything to me, because I don't know the plan. You know, like I know the plan in general, but I don't know the specifics, because I wasn't able to watch the characters plot it out like I was in Ocean's 11, right?
Right.
And so it's just a little bit... It's a little bit of a disconnect for me.
Mm-hmm.
On top of the fact that it is, they make the Back to the Future jokes, but it is literally Back to the Future 2. I mean, yeah. And I don't like Back to the Future 2. I do right. like Endgame. I don't like Back to the Future 2.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dangry. But I do like Endgame. So again, I apologize. I know this is not old Rich ranting. I swear to you, it isn't. Like, I enjoyed yeah. every second of watching this movie, you know.
Yeah.
So, and then part three is the battle, you know, the resolution. So, yeah. I don't know.
Well, I think there's, just real quick, there's an important distinction to make here is that, and that's something that people either forget or refuse to acknowledge, is that you can be critical of something and still like it. Like, yes. it's okay to yes. find something and no, point out either a flaw or just...
Not in 2019 America. That's not true. It's black and white. It's all or nothing. Right. It's one or the other.
You pick a team and you stick with them.
Yep. Either win me or gain me.
Yeah.
No, anyway.
No, I agree with you completely. And that's the thing. It's they call it a heist sequence. And in many ways, you know, it is. But I think more than that, it's again, it's more of the nostalgia trip.
Oh yeah.
Than it is an actual heist.
I totally get that. I don't know. It's like clip shows though. Like it's right. not a clip show, but it's like clip shows suck, you know, and this yeah. didn't suck at all. That's not what I'm saying, but I still wish we'd have had something different to homage it than that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that scene is part of the movie is going to be weaker over time, you know.
Sure. Well, and it's an interesting question because I am excited to go see it again. I've only seen it the one time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if I'm going to pick up more from those sequences because when I watched it the first time, of course, I'm picking up the obvious things. You know, I'm like, oh, I remember when that happened. I'm kind of watching certain parts of the action. Because I'm reliving it along with them, but I'm curious to see if there's anything else out there that you know there's more to it that I'll pick up on another viewing, you know, and it may be that it's going to be very straightforward and I got it all the first time and I'll hopefully enjoy seeing it again, but you know, with as clever as the Russo brothers have been and all the people involved with those Marvel movies, I wouldn't be surprised if there was some more stuff packed into those sequences that I'll maybe pick up on another viewing.
Moving forward a little further in the movie, and then, the final battle. This is another comparison to Return of the King for me.
Mm-hmm.
The final battle of Endgame versus the Battle of Wakanda in Infinity War, they're not even close for me. I like the Wakanda battle 100 times more than I like this one. Now, mm-hmm. it's not because there isn't more fan service and fun stuff in
right.
in the Endgame one, but it's because I don't know. It's like everything's we know who's going to win, right? Like we could, and it's different. I mean, some of it's just where it's at in the movie, but the sense of dread is not there. Like it's like slightly too epic. And it's slightly too. There's really cool shots. You know, the overhead shot is almost identical. The overhead shot of the army is almost identical to, mm-hmm. to a shot from Return of the King. By the way, it's crazy.
Nice.
But you know, like it's like all I feel what's on the line in Infinity War and in Endgame. I'm more there to have fun, and I get that. But I'm just the type of person, I never have as much fun when I'm just there to have fun.
Sure.
As I do when those stakes are there. Mm-hmm. And like, literally, there's an issue to me where it's like, the only thing that matters is the gauntlet. So the whole war doesn't matter at all, actually. You know, like, because right. if they get the gauntlet, they can they basically undo it anyway. And so all the fighting that you get, this is the core problem. Like, it doesn't matter. Not mm-hmm. one battle matters. And even though they got to cram in all those characters, you know, because it's just right. literally it's only about the gauntlet.
Well, and that's interesting because if you could look at another direction, and again, I understand what you're saying, and I'm not trying to refute it by any means.
Yeah.
But if you look at the Battle of Wakanda, you're like, okay, well, there's going to be another movie, and they're going to succeed, so they're going to undo the snap in some capacity.
Sure.
Right? So you yep. can watch that and be like... And that one, it really did affect me when I watched
yes.
that and everyone's like fading away. You're like,
yep.
it's like, I knew it was happening. I yep. knew it was coming, but somehow it was still very emotional, very powerful. Whereas with the final battle in Endgame, you know, some of these characters are probably not coming back or, you know, and they've established right away at the beginning like we were talking about, that things have changed and it can't all just go back to the way it was. Quick little side note, I think that's really cool that they did that, because there's been a little bit more, I've noticed that a bit in some of the storylines in some of the comics that I've read recently, like Secret Empire, there was the X-Men versus Inhumans. It's like stuff actually changed. It didn't just immediately go back to the status quo.
Sure.
And so I thought that was kind of cool that, you know,
yes,
they really did that and focused in so there was, because honestly, you know, I didn't know what was going to happen to all of these characters. I didn't know if Cap was going to die there. I didn't know if, you know, Hawkeye was going to make it. You know, it's like, especially those original Avenger characters, people from the first movies.
They did a lot of things I didn't expect.
Yeah.
You know, for sure. And that, another, definitely credit to them. I didn't expect, I mean, full on, look, if you haven't seen the movie, what I'm about to say is an absolute, total, utter spoiler. So, like, if you're still watching at this point, you know, give up now. But, yeah, I mean, I did not think they would kill Iron Man. I mean, I thought they would kill Cap, and I thought they wouldn't kill Iron Man. And because I thought Tony Stark Robert Downey could be the next Samuel L. Jackson, you know, in every movie for 2 minutes in the background, and he would just keep cashing in for very little work. I just thought that was what was going to happen. So now, to be fair, so what's really going to be interesting about that too? Well, okay, this is like, there's 14 different threads. So
yeah.
So I apologize. Are we finished with the last one?
I think so.
Moving. Well, right, because like in the comics, if Tony died, he'd be back. You know, he'd be back in 6 months or a year or whatever. He would upload his consciousness to the suit or to Jarvis or whatever. Which that's possible. That is something that could have happened. Maybe, and we could find out in the next in 5 years from now. Pepper Potts's phrase, whatever she says, you can rest now. You know, maybe that's a code word to Friday, for all we know. You know, like, I have no idea, right? But that's how you in a comic book, it's how you would retcon it. What will be really interesting in the MCU is to see if they really did kill these characters off and they're gone. You know, which is totally different than how comics would operate.
Right. Well, and that's one thing is that, you know, with the movie media format, it's more expected to have full arcs that start and go and end, and that is the totality of Iron Man's arc. You know, it's like, yeah, he kind of does it to a degree in the first Avengers movie where he goes to sacrifice himself, despite generally being kind of an egotistical, shallow, selfish character. And that's, you know, that's a really big thing in that movie. But that one's like, you almost get that full arc within the movie itself, right?
Yep.
But if you start with, like, the very first Iron Man and watch that whole journey, and that ends up for him there, for him to do that, you know...
No, I agree. And I think not only does it pay off the arc of 22 movies for Tony Stark, but, it, you know, all the things that are in the movie. Okay, here are my favorite things about the movie. Mm-hmm. Giving Tony a daughter and having him meet his father. Those two things are two of my favorite things about this movie. I think paralleling those relationships and setting, because, you know, Tony loses his dad. Now Morgan loses hers. You know, and just the relationship, the talk between Tony and Howard. I mean, that stuff is fantastic. And then Cap, Steve actually taking a lesson from Tony, you know, despite Tony being so mad at Cap at the beginning of the movie, and just like, that you can just have a life. It's okay. You know, you don't have to be the guy who saves everybody, you know, which is a work-life balance thing that a lot of us face. It hits me as a store owner. It's going to sound dumb, right? But I often put too much time into my shop versus into my life. And I think that moment was, it wasn't just about superheroes. You know, it could have been about a filmmaker who puts to anybody, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I really liked that a lot.
I did too. I think, a lot of the stuff, So let's see. We've got about, you know, 15 minutes left.
Sure.
Before the end of this podcast. So maybe, I don't know if there's anything else specific you wanted to touch on, but I'm thinking if we can go ahead and talk a little bit about some of the things that we really liked, you know.
Yeah. Tony and Steve's relationships are my number one and two.
Yeah.
They're not with each other. Well, with each other, but I mean, you know, right. the choices that they make and the heart of it and what it means, you know, are my favorite things about the movie. So.
Yeah. No, I think that's absolutely fantastic. I love that it ends with the dance with Cap and Agent Carter. There was just something very sweet about that. That felt like a really good capstone. No pun intended. Or maybe it was.
No, I mean, you'd have to be heartless to not, you know, to not. I mean, there's a slight part of me that's like, that's like I always knew it was going to end that way because of the, you know, the end of First Avenger or whatever, you know, like already. But yeah, so what? You know, it's like the first 10 minutes of Up. You know, if you're not bawling your eyes out before Up is 5 minutes right. in, you know, come on, man. You know, so yeah, no, it was awesome.
But I thought that was a really smart way to end it. That it just made me very happy. And one of the stand up and cheer moments in the movie when Cap wields Mjolnir.
Yep.
That was wonderful. Like, it's not that I didn't expect it, but at the time I wasn't thinking about it.
Yep.
You know?
And the fact that he does it, and but he's able to, like, toe-to-toe with Thanos, but it's not like he can beat him, you know? And,
right.
and I thought that was really smart, too, the level of power that was there. And I thought Thanos was going to kill him. I mean, that was one of those moments where
I thought, wow,
you know? Because there was a rumor for almost a year that Cap died after wielding Mjolnir. But the rumor was that it happened during the Battle of New York, like in the past, you know?
Oh,
so,
interesting.
So they were kind of right, but also wrong.
Yeah.
So,
but no, that was just so... so much fun.
My other favorite movie or moment, I think, was, or one of them was, you talked about the elevator scene earlier.
Yeah.
But so as a longtime comic reader and comic fan, and all the controversy of the comics was surrounding Captain America the last 2 years, you know, there's this moment where Cap leans over and says, "Hail Hydra," you know, to Rumslow.
So good.
It was, That just blew my mind for some reason. That was just like, that was the ultimate moment. It was meta and in the story. It was just beyond perfect. So,
because the way they were setting it up, it's like, oh, are we going to get another version of the
elevator
fight sequence?
Yeah,
was a great sequence. And I'm like, okay, I'm on board. I'm ready for this. And then for him to just lean down, Hail Hydra. Yeah. And
the self-awareness of it, you know?
So good.
Yeah. No, it was, whether you've read the comics or not, y'all know, right? Like, everybody in that audience freaking knows, right? About Captain America being a Hydra agent and all that shenanigans. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that was... I absolutely loved that moment. I really enjoyed that Tilda Swinton was back in it as the... what's the character name?
The Ancient One.
Ancient One, yeah.
Yep.
I wasn't expecting it.
Yep.
And that whole thing between her and Professor Hulk was a great little sequence.
Yes.
I really enjoyed that. And just the whole idea that... 5 years earlier, she knew all about Doctor Strange. You know, it was like this whole thing. It's like, oh, he's supposed to be the best of us. Well, if he did that, then I guess here you go, you know?
Yeah, no, I thought that was awesome. And an interesting pairing of characters, too. You know, just in general. I agree.
Yeah.
Well, and I thought some of the other ones, too. I thought, you know, Thor meeting his mother... not as effective as Tony, but I still thought it was a really good moment. I thought, you know, she never really got any scenes in Dark World to begin with. And so that was really cool, in my opinion. And Thor's a whole other topic, but you said, let's talk about things we liked. So I'm not sure I didn't like Thor. I just know people who didn't, you know, that's for sure. So, but that scene, it sets up what he decides to do at the end of the movie, despite it all. You know, like, because what's his line? You know, I'm not going to worry about who I was supposed to be. I'm going to go out and be who I am, you know, however he puts it. And I mean, I thought that was awesome.
That was fantastic. And talk about a surprise.
Like, yes.
I was pretty sure that those original Avengers characters were going to be retired after this.
Yep.
Like, that was it.
Well, I think he was going to be, and then he had so much fun. I think this is a personal thing. He had so much fun making Ragnarok that he decided he wanted to keep making him. Otherwise, I do think he was done. So.
Yeah. Whole thing with it. As Guardians of the Galaxy, it's like, I can't wait for Guardians 3.
That's another terrific moment. You know, here we are together again. As Guardians of the Galaxy. It's like, wait a second, you're acting like this is your ship. You know, like,
yeah.
Oh, no, I'm not. You know, like like him and Quill, I mean, it could be fantastic, especially with Gunn in charge and everything. Man. So.
I mean, like, I was excited for Guardians 3 anyway because of the first two movies and everything there, but now it's just like, because that's a direction I did not see. I would not have placed that. And, God, there's just so many good dynamics that they can have there with Thor as relaxed. Like, you know, he's kind of back to who he was, but he's not.
Yep.
Because he doesn't have the weight of, I have to be this person. And so that arc gets to continue. Like, and that's really cool. You know, you talk about how, like, Iron Man's arc begins and it ends with Endgame.
Yep.
And Thor's is just kind of like, it's still got a place to go. And it makes sense, and it's exciting to see where it's going to go.
Yep.
It's not that it just shoehorned him in because it's like, well, you know, people like him and he wants to do another one, so we'll throw him in there. It's, no, that works. And that's fantastic.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, well, yeah, okay. So you said things we like, so I'm just going to stay away from everything that I didn't like. is not even the right, you know, I mean, Thor was some interesting choices. I'm not sure they were bad. I know people who did think they were bad.
Well, and I think we can touch on that real quick
here. Yeah.
Because I've read some articles that people have written about it. I know that there's, you know, a bit of pushback from certain people in certain communities because there's the whole idea that, oh, he's let himself go, he's overweight, and it's played for laughs, and that's body shaming or something like that. And I honestly don't agree. I don't see the take on it being that. I've read some articles that go into more of the positive aspects where he's a very broken person. You know, after everything that's happened and coming to grips with his failure, you know, or his perceived failure, it's not all on him, but that's the way he sees it because he was meant for great things. He's believed this his whole life. And that whole scene, you know, when he goes back in time, he talks with his mother and then, you know, they're getting ready to leave and he says, wait a second, I've got to try this. And he holds out his hand and the hammer comes to him and he says, I'm still worthy. You know, that right there has been, for some people at least, that's a very positive thing to say, that just because you may be suffering from depression or have some kind of mental incapacity or illness or whatever, that doesn't make you unworthy. You know, he still was able to wield the hammer. He's still able to wield Stormbreaker.
Yeah. No, I agree. And that's what I get out of it as well. I know some people, it's not even the body shaming. There's a part of it who think that it's the stereotyping of gamers.
Really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Who, if you look at that scene, just about every negative stereotype that you can attach to somebody who sits around and plays video games is there.
Right.
And to suggest that they're only doing it because they're depressed as well, you know, and if they weren't depressed, then they wouldn't be there. I mean, I think that's where the issues that I'm hearing are coming from.
Sure.
So.
And I guess I could see where people would get that, but that isn't the focus to me.
No, I don't think it's what was intended, at all. But
you can't touch every side of a thing. It's just a... Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's the interesting thing. We don't have time to start this topic, but
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
But you know, like the thing is, you know, nerds are the ones who have the most ownership over this stuff. You know, like whether it's now mass market, and I get that, but nerds have like the original because the people who grew up with this are the ones who are at the heart of enjoying it. They're far from the only ones, obviously, at this point. I don't mean that, but they. I mean, I'd say it's. I mean, oh boys, there's a huge topic here.
Yeah.
You know? And so a lot of the there's this whole thing with fan rage and identity and who owns the ideas and the true fandom of this stuff, you know. And it, it's sort of interesting where people grew up being on the outside of society, and then what they liked became mainstream society, and how does that resonate with them psychologically, and things like that. And so, I mean, I'm trying to dance around. I don't really want to get into the central issues of it, but I do think it's fascinating, I guess, is my point. So
yeah, absolutely. And I know that's it's been a topic for quite some time. We really don't want to get into that completely. Maybe we should talk about that sometime.
Remember when we were talking about positive things, but no. So
to finish up with Endgame, I think, generally speaking, both of us have a very positive attitude toward it. It's maybe not the top of our Marvel movie list, but, you know, the very few things that I didn't like about it or would criticize, it's like the whole rat activates the quantum machine. It's like, that was a little...
But you know there's going to be a comic book prequel or fan fiction that the rat is like a, you know, is someone, right? Is right. Like a shape-changing superhero or something who, you know...
Someone from the some wizard of some sort, or
like
Doctor Strange saw it and, you know, somehow did something to make this rat at the right time open the...
Yeah, I am surprised they did that. I'm surprised there wasn't a better way for the quantum realm machine to reverse itself there or whatever.
Yeah. Ultimately, it wasn't important why it opened up again, just that it had to do that.
Yep.
You know?
You said, you know, it wasn't necessarily your favorite. So if you think about it really quickly, I've already watched some people ranking all 22 of them already. Like, so what do you like? What do you like? I mean, I think of like three that had a bigger impact for me.
Yeah.
Winter Soldier.
Yep.
Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and Infinity War. Off the top of my head, those are the three that all three had a bigger emotional impact on me than this one.
Mm-hmm.
This one might be just next in line then for me by default, by default. But, I didn't like Civil War more. I didn't like...
Yeah.
I mean, maybe the original Avengers also just because of... It's not a better movie, I don't think, but it's like Star Wars: A New Hope versus Empire Strikes Back. You know, I get it. Like most of us, the cool answer is The Empire Strikes Back, and I understand. You know, but
no, I think, and we had discussed this a while ago. Our top three and our bottom three, and I think mine remain unchanged. And that would be Winter Soldier, and no particular order because I haven't gotten far enough to be able to rank them more than I know that these are the top three. It would be Winter Soldier, first Guardians, and then that first Avengers movie. And solely that first Avengers movie, a big part of that is because I really hadn't seen anything like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, the Infinity War and Endgame, I really haven't seen anything like them either, except I saw that first Avengers movie, you know, so they accomplished a lot more in these other movies, I think, but that was so new, and it was a midnight showing, and I saw it with, like, two of my best friends in the world, and we had so much fun with it. Like, it was just the whole experience.
Yeah.
And I can't separate that enough to see if there's anything that would knock it out. I think it will probably always be there.
What it meant to you is a huge part of it.
Hey folks, DoxCast co-host Josh Trumbo here, just dropping in at the very end to let you know we had been having audio issues all night, and they flared up again right at the end of this podcast. Since it was the very end, we were just kind of wrapping up and actually had gone over our time a bit. We just decided to end it there and didn't do a formal ending. So allow me to invite you all to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at ParadoxCNC, also find us at ParadoxCNC on Instagram, as well as twitch.tv/ParadoxCNC, and of course the website ParadoxCNC.com. We thank you much for tuning in. We appreciate each and every one of our loyal viewers/listeners, and we will see you on the next DoxCast.
This was a DoxCast. Hope you think it rocks cast. Oh, look at the clocks cast. Until next time, geek on.